Virgin Radio. We regularly catch up with professional representatives for the Arthritis and Osteoporosis WA group, and of course they can always be contacted on their helpline of 1-800-011-041. They offer so many services actually, WA exercise services, arthritis keys program and support groups. Today, however, I would like to welcome Professor Charles Inderjeeth, clinical epidemiologist, consultant physician in rheumatology and geriatric medicine, and he's also involved, I don't know how he finds the time, in research, education and publication in the field of rheumatology, osteoporosis, vitamin D, dementia and geriatric syndromes. A very good afternoon to you, Professor. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Jenny, and thank you for inviting me.
There's never been a book written as to prepare us for getting older. How come things hurt that never used to hurt before?
Well, unfortunately, Jenny, with aging, most things start to wear. I mean, that includes joints, muscles, the heart, and of course the brain as well. Hence the important role of geriatricians, because they tend to be the main guardians of management of medical conditions as people get older.
We're glad that you're there doing exactly that and helping everyone through. Just as by the by, and I'm sure with all the work that you've done over the years, you probably would be more on top of this, but are people living a bit longer now, do you think, than perhaps our forebears?
Yes, I think one of the main side effects of good medical care, good nutrition, vaccinations, etc., is that people are living longer and living healthier. So living longer, living stronger is a motto of many groups that actually care for older people in terms of their personal health. So yes, we are successful, but of course with it comes certain complications that we have to deal with.
Well, I'm glad, like I said, that you're actually doing all that for everybody. So I wonder if you could explain to those listening, what does a geriatrician actually do, and how can you help us as everyone gets older?
Sure, that's a good question, because as you know, in pediatrics there are pediatricians, in adult medicine there are general physicians. The geriatricians tend to focus mainly on older people, as a general rule, people over the age of 65, who may have more than just medical conditions. So we actually assist patients in managing their physical, functional, psychological and cognitive function. Mm-hmm. And as you know, as people get older, all of these organ systems tend to be afflicted, and a geriatrician is probably the best person to assist your general practitioner in actually managing these syndromes.
So, you know, we can expect things to have, you know, incredible change in our bodies and our thinking sometimes, sadly, where you've got dementia and that sort of thing, there could be a risk involved. Is there anything that you have found in your research that can prevent people from aging too quickly?
That would be the Holy Grail, and someone will win a Nobel Prize for that. But what we do know at the moment, Jenny, is that if you're healthier, if you actually exercise, if you have adequate nutrition, and you maintain good medical health, of course you're likely to live longer, live stronger, as I mentioned earlier on, and have a much more healthy lifestyle. And of course, with that comes the possibility of living longer as well and having a good quality of life with those increasing years. Yeah. We have a motto. It's about adding a life to years, not years to life. So we want to get the combination right.
No, absolutely true. And just by the by, you know, the mental stimulation that I personally think is quite necessary to have a purpose every day, to make sure that you are keeping yourself physically but also mentally. I mean, that's been sort of mooted around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes, I think it's a well-known motto that a healthy body and a healthy mind, so they go together.
Yeah.
And people who are psychologically not in their best state, unfortunately, translates into significant medical conditions. And I think that's well known that if you actually feel better mentally, you're more likely to feel better physically. And I think they go hand in hand. And if you actually improve your medical condition, your physical health, you will improve your mental health and well-being as well. So it ends up being a vicious cycle. So managing both of those is quite important.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, distraction from, if you've got the old ache and pain occasionally there, if you've got distraction and you're stimulated by, you know, mental health, that's, you know, mental attitude, that sort of thing, you're absolutely right. And it can actually deal with a lot of things that we're having to go through. Osteoporosis is a very sad thing to happen to people, and vitamin D, what's the link there?
Well, unfortunately, with aging and immobility, and people tend to spend more time indoors, and of course, we have this SunSmart message, which means that people don't actually go outdoors as often as they should. We have lower exposure to ultraviolet light, and small amount of it is actually quite good, and it produces this hormone. It's not really a vitamin. It's a hormone called vitamin D, which is very important in terms of your calcium status in your body, and calcium is the most important a mineral for bone and bone strength. So it's important to ensure that you have adequate vitamin D and adequate calcium through dairy, for example, and of course that will give you better bone health. And improving bone health has the advantage of reducing your risk of fracturing if you do fall. And I will add, Jenny, that vitamin D possibly reduces the risk of falls and fractures as well. So it has not just an effect on bone, but also an effect on muscles. Okay. And vitamin D may potentially have other benefits in terms of your mental status and other medical conditions as well.
Oh, gosh, that is a very good supplement, isn't it? Vitamin D. Is that the sort of vitamin D that you would buy in a capsule, I guess, over the counter?
Yes, and obviously we advocate for naturally obtaining most of these, calcium through dairy products, and if not, through supplements, and of course with vitamin D, through small amounts of what we call sensible sunlight exposure. And if that's not feasible, or people are housebound or immobile, or do not want to go out into the sun for whatever reason, then obviously a supplement is the next best thing.
Yeah.
There are some dietary sources as well, including fatty fish, for example, and some dairy products are actually fortified with vitamin D, so please read the labels.
Yeah.
But in the absence of any of these, a vitamin D supplement is a good way to go.
Physical activity, when you start to get a few aches and pains, you tend to pull away from moving because it hurts a lot. What do you suggest for people that are sort of fighting that? They know they should, but they can't perhaps bring themselves to do it. What sort of exercise?
Yes, I think the emphasis, I mean, there are many forms of exercise, and as geriatricians, we appreciate that recommending one particular form of exercise may not always be possible. So, for example, for bones and muscles, resistance exercise is quite important. For cardiovascular fitness, aerobic exercises is quite important. But what we tend to emphasize in older people, that any exercise is good for you.
Yeah.
It has the advantage of keeping you mobile, has the advantage of improving your balance, has the advantage of improving your muscle strength. And in addition, it improves your mental well-being as well. And exercising in groups has the advantage of giving you both, you know, significant improvement in your mental health and psychological stimulation, because socialization is important as well. So it's about choosing an exercise that can actually get you out, get you into groups, and improve both your mental and physical well-being. And it doesn't have to be in a gym, for example. There are some simple exercises that the Arthritis and Osteoporosis Foundation can actually show you, where you can actually do these exercises, even if you are less mobile, quite safely. For example, you know, chair exercises, where you do not have to be independently mobile at all.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's so much information out there, and the Arthritis and Osteoporosis WA certainly have all of that if people would like to ring them. Mood changes, dementia, other cognitive problems. I know a lot of research has gone into this. How are we heading towards that at the moment, Professor?
Yes, I think there's been quite an interesting item on the TV recently showing that people with anxiety, for example, and mood disorders do have a higher potential risk of developing dementia later on. Mm-hmm. But part of that may be that is that these individuals have less social interaction, less physical interaction, less healthy lifestyle. So I think importantly, addressing all of those issues are going to be quite important in terms of improving your mental health and your cognitive risk. Okay. Some factors are not changeable, of course, for example, genetic predisposition, but there are certainly physical and functional and mental stimulation strategies that you can use to reduce that risk.
What about pain management?
Now, pain management is a very important part, because if you're in pain, you're less likely to be mobile.
Yeah.
But it's a catch-22 situation, because trying to abolish or get rid of pain is often very difficult in some patients with chronic musculoskeletal diseases, for example. And we see a lot of that in rheumatology. We see a lot of that in geriatric medicine. So the important issue is to give people the ability to self-manage their pain, so what we call non-pharmacological strategies, how to learn distraction and to be able to focus on positive things. And of course, for example, someone who has broken their leg and wins lotto is less likely to be in pain than someone who's actually lost someone near and dear.
I love that theory.
a simplest example. So I think, and apart from that, of course, you do have to offer analgesia to a patient, and simple analgesics are usually recommended. I would give patients whatever analgesia is required. However, there's always a risk with analgesia, or what I call strong painkillers, because it does have an effect on the brain in terms of your cognition, in terms of your risk of actually falling over.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And of course, it increases your risk of having broken bones as well. So it's quite important to balance that too. And it's horses for courses, I think, and it's important that your clinician make a judgment on the risk-benefit of the treatment. Too much of a good thing can be bad for you. You know, I mean, it may abolish the pain, but at the risk of you falling over and breaking something. So you need to balance those two things. And that's what geriatricians do so well. It's medicine practiced better. It's not simply about the pharmacological or drugs that we can use, but it's how well that we use them. It's what we call the art of medicine in ensuring that we do no harm to our patients.
Yeah, wonderful. You do a wonderful job. And look, I thank you very, very much for sharing that with us today. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was wonderful. Professor Charles Inderfeith. 100.1 FM, Curtain Radio.